We believe that being a defender requires more than building shooting skills on a range. It's also a development of the heart, mind, body, and spirit. Join us as we explore what it truly means to be a defender in your training and in your everyday life. Welcome to Defenders Live. I am Laura Thorson, your host of Defenders Live, and I want to welcome you to another special episode of Defenders Live. We're going to have Sarah Hauptman of Filster Holsters on here tonight, and I'm really excited to have her on. She's going to have such good information for us about business, about concealment, and about one of my favorite concealment platforms, the Enigma. So we're going to get to learn more about that today. So I'm going to move on now to our special guest, Sarah Hauptman from Filster Holsters, because I have a feeling this is going to be a really fun conversation. And I'm going to bring Sarah on right now.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being on. So I'm super excited to have you on. You and John are really inspiring to me. You are incredible business owners. And I know it's been, a decade probably since you started Filster. I know a little bit of background about you, but I don't know you personally. I've never met you in real life. So give us, for those that don't know who you are or, you know, what you're about, just give us a general background about Sarah Hauptman.
Well, my name is Sarah Hauptman. That's the easy part. I am one of the owners of Filster Holsters. And what we do is we innovate. We make cutting edge concealment gear, and we try to always push the boundaries of what's possible with concealment. So that's kind of our background there. I joined the company in, 2018, 2019, somewhere in there, married into it. So my husband's been running it since 2011, I believe, give or take. So he started the company actually as a learning project. So you were saying that you view everything as a life, everything in life as a learning experience, and he's the same way. And he had gotten into guns, gotten into shooting, gotten into self-defense, and he encountered some issues early on where he would try to get a holster. They would have like a 16-week lead time, and by the time he'd get a holster, he would have already moved on to the next gun and not even have that gun anymore. So he's like, okay, well, I think in 16 weeks, I can teach myself how to make Kydex holsters. And if I'm gonna be the guinea pig and try to do this, then I'm gonna put everything online. So he put everything on YouTube and in kind of this free information marketplace when YouTube was young, before a lot of the content restrictions started coming up. So he kind of took a bunch of trade secrets and put them out there for the entire world and taught himself how to make holsters and taught a lot of other people how to make holsters as well.
Wow, what a wild ride.
Yeah, that's the origin of Filster. And eventually it got to the point where people would say, wow, that's a great video. Thanks so much for explaining how to make holsters. Can you make me one? It's kind of the evolution of like that. That's really helpful. Great information, but I'm not doing that. Can you make me one? So that's kind of where the company got started and just grew over time and is continuing to grow today.
And did I hear that John started as a, or maybe he started as a mechanic, so he's a guy that works with his hands, and he's not afraid to get dirty and figure stuff out. So that's a good quality to have when you're making holsters.
Oh, John is like a Renaissance man. He actually has an art degree, so he graduated he's got a 4-year degree in fine art, and then became a mechanic, and then became a holster maker. So he has a variety of really interesting life skills and perspectives. And I'm sorry he couldn't be here, but he's ill tonight, so.
Oh, well, we miss him. Tell him hi for us.
For sure.
And you have a really diverse background as well, because I kind of looked into your background and you had an aerial imaging company. I don't know if you still do. You have a background in videography. So that's helpful when you're making videos.
Yeah. That came in handy. John and I were laughing when we got together. It's like, we met and we hit it off and we decided we were going to, get married and do the whole relationship thing. And it's like, oh, you have a a retail business and I have a video company. Like, what are the odds? But yeah, I've had a kind of varied background as well. I worked for 12 years, I think, give or take, on a horse farm, like
Oh,
shoveling
really?
poop.
Another horse
Yeah.
girl.
Horse
Oh, you're
girl.
after my heart. Oh my
Yeah,
gosh.
yep.
This is great.
And after that, I went off and got like a, you know, real job, quote unquote, in healthcare. So I worked as an X-ray tech for a little over a decade. And then I started the aerial imaging business kind of as a side gig because I was bored. And so it's like, oh, what am I going to do today? Well, I'm going to learn about how to fly drones. And if I'm going to learn about how to fly drones, I'm going to monetize this hobby because that's kind of what we do. And like, oh, well, you know, if I do enough business, the drones will pay for themselves and then I get free toys. And so I did that for a couple of years. And then when I started doing that, I thought, oh, you know, this is actually, I can make more money doing regular video production instead of aerial. So I started doing more of just straight up video production. And then I met John. So here I am.
That's really cool. Now, I have been wanting to know this since the first day that Adam Winch told me about Filster. Where did the name come from?
Oh, that's
I've always
so
wanted to
John.
know that.
Yeah, then and it's kind of a funny story because John is from Philadelphia, like born and raised Philadelphia.
Okay.
And when he started the company, he never thought that anyone would have to like pronounce the name. It wasn't supposed to be like a real company, you know, it was just a YouTube channel. So he just combined Philadelphia and Holster and it was Philster. And PHL is the Philadelphia airport code. So it's kind of neat that way.
Okay. That makes sense. All right. Well, cool. Now I know. That has really been a burning question.
Yeah, we get that a lot. And a lot of people think his name is Phil. His name is John. But a lot of people are like, hey, Phil, what's up? And he's like, hey.
I've noticed a lot of misspellings of your brand as well, but that comes with the territory when it's, you know, the way it is. But that makes sense now. Good.
Yeah,
now
I mean,
it makes sense in my brain.
The nice thing is it's unique and searchable, but the weird thing is like it was really never – We never, like, he didn't intend for it to go this far. It's just like, oh, here we are. Was successful. That's great.
I love it when stuff like that happens because I've had times in my life where, like, I started off in photography and then that evolved into graphic design and then that started evolving into videography because when you do one thing, people ask you, well, can you do this and can you do that? And so you kind of have to evolve over time. And I think that's a good thing. So that's cool. That sounds like you guys have been doing a lot of evolving over the years. So speaking of that, so you guys are now in business together. And so another question I want to know, because, okay, I'll preface this with something here. My husband and I have separate businesses, but we still, you know, there's a lot of intertwining between our businesses. I ask him stuff, bounce stuff off him all the time and vice versa. And I help him with marketing, obviously, and stuff. And so I want to know what it's like to be in business with your spouse from your perspective. And is there any life lessons you've learned from that?
Oh, boy. So here's, yes, I have learned some life lessons. I think it was a big adjustment for me because I went from working in healthcare to, oh crap, there's a pandemic. Working in healthcare sucks now. I'm going to go full time for Filster. So I went from just kind of having a normal, you know, working for the man type of life to suddenly being fully self-employed, working from home during lockdowns. And it was a big adjustment. But actually for me, it was awesome because I'm pretty introverted anyway, and I don't really like being around people. So like, I could stay home with my dogs. This is great.
I think everyone would be really surprised to know that I am actually an introvert. Nobody believes me when I say that, but it is true.
Yeah, that's a thing. There's like an extroverted style of introvert where like you can socialize, but it really drains you.
Yeah,
I'm the
and
same
especially
way.
With certain people, it drains you even more. So then as a couple, then could you talk about like, what does John bring to the table strength wise? And what do you bring to the table strength wise? Because this ties back to our that little fun little thing that I said to you on the phone the other night about I watched your live when you did the holster wedges. And And I think he thought that like something wrong was wrong with the website or something like that. And I noticed you stayed really calm the whole time.
That's what I bring to this relationship.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Okay, so elaborate on that then.
No, well, so you asked like, well, what lessons did you learn working with your spouse? And the main lesson that I learned is choose wisely. And yeah. And I am so, so glad that I went through all of the pandemic and lockdown and all of the craziness with John, because he is a person that is reliable and dependable, and he's absolutely brilliant. He has sound judgment, and he's like just the kind of person that you can really trust and lean on. And there's really nobody that I would rather do all of that stuff with. So then when it comes to business, it's the same thing. Like, he's a solid communicator. He's just, his brain works in a way that I don't even fully understand. And I think part of it is either the chicken or the egg, either the reason why he's an artist, or he's an artist, you know, he's an artist because his brain works like this, or his brain works like this because he's an artist. Right. But he is absolutely brilliant in like a different kind of intuitive way than me. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to like product design, he brings this, he can take a complicated problem and solve it with such a simple solution that you're like, why didn't I think of that? And that's the thing that really impresses me about John. I mean, there's a lot of things, but I'm not, you know, don't want to get too gooey here, but he's awesome. But that's one of the things that really impresses me about working with him is like, you just have to sit back and be like, wow, like this dude is brilliant. Awesome. So it makes it really easy to kind of work with him and follow his vision and his leadership because it's just so good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as far as what I bring,
I was gonna say I bring the calm.
Yeah, I bring the calm. You know, not that he's not emotional, but I'm cared. Like generally
you could just tell
non-reactive.
In that live that he cared about what he was going on.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm generally non-reactive. So I bring that, and I bring kind of some organizational flavor and some communication strategies. And one of the things that I do well is take. So John will solve your problem in the most graceful way possible, and I will figure out how to communicate with you in a similar way. So like, we'll take the communication and we'll make it as streamlined as possible. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of, it's a work in progress. So it's not perfect.
Everything is.
But we're working on really hammering on education. So concealment education. Mm-hmm. We're basically leveling up our customers to the point where they appreciate our products, because our products are weird and complicated, and most people look at them and they're like, I don't know about that. But once you have a base foundation knowledge of the reasons why they're weird and complicated, you're like, oh yeah, this is great. So we're kind of trying to get everybody to that level, so that they can at least, even if it's not for them, understand why it is the way it is and how it functions. So part of what I'm doing with the company is trying to streamline the educational resources and make it easier to understand, communicate it in language that sticks in your brain and is easy to explain, so that I can tell you and you can tell your friend and then your friend can tell their friend and it's transferable.
Right. That's a huge part of why I think personally your business is so successful. And that is the part that I feel like a lot of businesses don't get. Right. Mm-hmm. They miss their messaging. They have an incredible product, but they're not sure how to message that to their audience. And it gets lost in translation and everything gets muddy. And especially with the short attention spans of most people nowadays, it just is so important that you cut through that mud right to the thing. And the good thing about what you guys offer is you're solving a problem for people that so many people have, and you understand it deeply, you know? And I think that's so important as well. So let's get into a little bit more about the industry as a whole and about concealment. And then later, guys, we're going to be talking about the Enigma specifically. And I had a gal too email me a question. So we might do, depending on what questions do come in during the live, we might do like a short Q&A at the end if we have time, because I mean, you could probably literally have a concealment Q&A that could last by itself an hour long.
Oh yeah, we teach this at a couple of different conventions in our blocks, usually at least 2 hours. So
yeah, exactly. So let's move on to the industry. How do you guys keep your finger on the pulse of the industry as a whole, so that you can keep innovating?
So the interesting thing about our company is that it is much smaller than people think. So I think we do a pretty good job with certain elements, like say our video production, where we punch above our weight class and people think we're like a big company, and we're not. So it's like me and John doing a lot of the doing a lot of the background stuff. We keep up with our customers because we are like right there helping answer emails and helping do this. We've actually got an awesome team of people. We've got customer service folks. We've got Tessa, who does our video and some of our educational content. And we've got Brian, who runs the concealment workshop for us. And it's a great team, but it's so much smaller than people think. So the main way that we keep our pulse on the industry is just by doing things. I guess it's like we're not like on our private island sitting on our yacht, sipping champagne involved while the business runs. We're like, right. No, we're like here doing it.
Yeah,
So that's the main way. But the second one is just through talking to our customers, doing customer service. One of the huge things is the concealment workshop, but it's also stuff like, well, we go to the same classes as you guys do. Mm-hmm. And we learn from the same trainers as our customers do. Mm-hmm. So we're out and about participating, because this is where we hang out anyway. Right. Like I'm in a lot of gun related Facebook groups and people are like, well, what are you doing in there? I'm like, I don't know. That's where I'd hang out anyway. So I see what customers are saying, because that's where I hang out.
Well, I would imagine the Filster Concealment Workshop would be one of your main, like, I don't know if you'd call that a focus group or what you would call that, but I mean, the amount of data that you can gather just from that group alone, I imagine really helps your R&D department.
Oh, absolutely. We have seen every type of problem, issue, concern, and it's absolutely fascinating, because you don't often get the chance to see that wide of a variety. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. And I don't want to skip ahead, because you have, I know, other questions that are related to this, but yeah, it's been a really good opportunity for some lessons learned. The other neat thing about it too, the concealment workshop is like this, it's not like we're just in there doing customer service and helping people, although we are, but people are helping each other and we get to see their conversations with each other. And that's mm-hmm. the really cool part for me, is like this whole community and this culture that has sprung up with people who are enthusiastic about concealment. And that's one of my favorite parts. I really, really love that.
Yeah. And if you guys haven't joined that Facebook group yet, it's a private Facebook group, Filster Concealment Workshop is what it's called. And it is an incredible group. I would really encourage you to go on there.
It's kind of moderated my opinion on a lot of things as well. Because I used to be very hard line about certain things related to concealed carry, like never do this or always do this. And then through that huge learning lab, there's like 23,000 people in there right now. I've met so many people who are exceptions to what I thought was always true or always not true, that it's like I've really softened my strongest
Broaden
opinions
horizons,
are like
right?
a little softer now.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
So on a video that I saw with John recently, he said that you can't gear your way to concealment. What does he mean by that?
Okay, so the trap that people fall into is they will see a holster that works for you, or a holster that works for Adam, or a holster that works for, you know, somebody else. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, oh, well, that holster clearly works well. I'll buy one. And they want to just try to buy the thing that's going to make them conceal well. But the dirty little secret is that there is no thing that is going to give you good concealment. It's the foundation, knowledge, skills. Mm-hmm. So those are really the key. So it doesn't matter what you buy. Of course, it's better to buy something that allows you to put the skills into practice. But even like I could go to any gun shop and take the biggest piece of junk holster off the shelf and make some mods to it and make it conceal better just by having the foundation knowledge of like, where should I put a wedge? And how do I get asymmetry in the holster? And how do I, you know, place it correctly on my body? So the knowledge is really key. And there's no gear in the world that's going to help you if you don't know what you're doing.
Oh my gosh, this relates to horses. I just have to tie this in because if I had a nickel for every time that I saw someone on the internet ask for, do you have XYZ bit
for
this horse? Mm-hmm. And they think that that bit will cure their problem when in fact their problem is their riding.
It's your hands.
It's you. Yeah. And no bit on the planet is gonna fix that. And
I can't believe
it's crazy how many things I've seen in the firearms community that can be related to other industries as well. It is really crazy.
And with horses specifically, one of my best friends is a master saddle fitter, and it's incredible how many things with saddle fitting and holster fitting are similar.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
It's really
neat. I imagine. Yeah. And education is so important. Just it's probably the most important part of your business, because if you can't get people to understand what it is that they need to do in order to get what they want, and it's not just the thing they have to buy. Here's a thing that can help you, but you have to know how to use it properly in order for it to help you correctly. So speaking of problems, then, what are some of the most common problems that with concealment that you guys hear?
You want general, or do you want like an example?
Well, do you have like two or three things you hear most commonly and then maybe address an example of one of those?
Oh gosh. Okay. So, well, I mean, so really generally,
said too much.
I don't want to go on forever, but the two general things we hear are, I can't conceal and it's not comfortable. Mm-hmm. And both of those are knowledge things. And both of those are not even remotely related to gear. Although, you know, your gear can affect it, but it's almost always a decision or a skill gap that led to those problems. And usually if the person says, my holster is uncomfortable, and you look at, you know, you ask them for a picture, you'll see that you've positioned an appendix carry holster too low and it's jabbing them in the leg when they sit or when they bend over. And it's like, okay, move it higher, move it more towards your strong side. Boom, solved for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. For so that's that particular thing. Yeah.
Yep. That's one of the main things, but everybody's different. So it's not like you can just say, move it higher and move it 30 degrees this way. It doesn't quite work that way. But if you were to say like the majority of issues are caused by this, it's like, okay, well, your gun is too low. You'll oftentimes, because your pants are too low, you got to move both of them higher and get the gun off of the center of your belly. But again, body type dependent, because for me, I do carry in the center of my belly. That's where I have the best spot for it. That's the kind of general thing. For concealment, everybody has peaks and valleys. So if you look at yourself in a mirror, you'll see that there are parts of you that stick out further than other parts. Universal. No matter how overweight, no matter how skinny a person is, they've always got some point on the body that is a peak and some point that's a valley. It's relative. Mm-hmm. So the number one problem we see as far as concealment goes is a person will place the gun directly on a peak, and you know the gun's going to print because you know, their belt buckle is already printing there, or you can already see the outline of their belly button through the shirt, and there's no room for a gun. So they put the gun there and it prints horribly, and they say, oh my gosh, this holster sucks. I'm gonna get rid of it. Like, no. Before you do, just try this, move it over here and, you know, take it off the peak, put it in the valley and use these two or three concealment features. And then try. And they're like, oh, it disappeared. It's amazing.
Yeah, your Peaks and Valleys video is one of my favorite videos on your YouTube channel. You guys need to go on the Filster. Is it Filster Holsters? Is it just called Filster on YouTube?
I think YouTube just came out with handles now. So I think you can just type in at Filster and it should go right to our page.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, the information on their YouTube page is so well done, and it goes straight to the heart of the matter. If you want to learn about one little specific thing, they break it down perfectly, just perfectly for the short attention spans that most of us have.
Yeah, and Tessa's our team member who did that the concealment sweet spot video, and she did a phenomenal job. She like went and found models with all different body types. And then she brought each one into the studio and then is like, okay, put this gun in the wrong place. We'll see how it looks. And now put it in the right place and see how it looks. And, and it really shows the differences that just a small adjustment in gun position can make.
Absolutely. And you guys that are typing questions in, we're going to get to your questions, I promise. So keep putting in the questions if you have them. I keep watching the time to make sure that I can allow some time at the end for the Q&A. So please keep putting those questions in. I'm not ignoring you, I promise. But I want to get over to specifically the Enigma, because we haven't talked about it. We've mentioned it, but we haven't talked about it specifically. So give people who've never heard of the Enigma the elevator speech, the 50,000 foot view of what it is and what it does and how it can help them.
Well, my elevator pitch is if you have ever this is not serious. This is kind of a joke. But if you have ever wanted to do Brazilian jiu-jitsu in your bathrobe with a gun on and have it stay in place while you fight someone independent of your clothing, that's what the Enigma does for you. So it is basically it's like a chassis and an inner belt that goes underneath your clothing, and it holds your Kydex holster to your body. And then there's also a leg leash that goes around the top of your thigh. And that is what that does is it opposes the retention of your Kydex holster. So Kydex holster, that's like the plastic kind, right? So it typically when you put the gun in, it kind of clicks in there, right? So when you take the gun out, you just need something to oppose that retention so that your holster doesn't end up, you know, riding up around your chest. So that keeps it in a consistent spot. And the Enigma chassis has a faceplate, which is made out of this like super high tech, flexible woven polymer. It is really cool. And that the design of that, both the shape and the design features, give you really incredible concealment. And it's also lower profile than like a belt clip would be. So it's like the thinnest possible thing that you can put over your gun that will actually give you concealment that's better than a belt.
And I'm trying to find a picture of it here really quick. I don't have that queued up, but hold on. I am saving it down as we speak here. And literally the Enigma is a game changer. I heard about it in the spring of this year for the very first time. And when Adam first showed me, I'll never forget. When Adam first showed me the Enigma, he had it off of his body. It wasn't on his body at the time. It was just a naked Enigma, I guess. And he just like presented it to me like this, and I took a look at it and I was like, it was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen. I had no idea what I was even looking at. And he was even articulating to me what it did and why it was so great. And I had to go online and look it up, and you know, it's an Enigma.
Yep,
there's a reason why it's called an Enigma.
Yeah, John came up with that name, and it's perfect because you look at it and you're like, what the heck is this? But when you kind of dive into it and you kind of learn the principles that it's based on, you're like, oh, I see how this works now. Like, oh, the faceplate is curved. So it raises it gives you extra keel, like a sailboat has keel in the water. So it raises your water line and makes
Here,
the
here's a
grip of the gun
picture of
tuck
it.
towards your body more.
Yeah, so
And
this is the Enigma, and then so the holster attaches to this chassis here, and then the bottom little strap there is the leg leash, and that's to keep everything in place whenever you pull the gun out, right?
Yep,
Yeah.
exactly.
So that's what it looks
Yeah.
like. If you go on their website on filsterholsters.com, you'll be able to see it, and you'll be able to see lots of cool videos about it as well. So now here's another thing I learned that I think it's true, that you kind of were you came up with the original design, like you like
That
presented as a design idea kind of to John. You're like, what about this? And that's
it
how it
is
started.
partially true, but it's incomplete.
Okay.
And let me give you the background here. So
Okay.
about 10 years ago, a company called Runcible Works came out with the concept that the Enigma is based on. So the concept of having a holster on we call it a sub belt, like a belt that's under your clothes with a leg leash. So a Kydex holster with retention, a leg leash, and a sub belt. So that's been around. That idea has been around, and that has been pressure tested for a decade by a lot of much cooler people than me, like people who can shoot and fight, and a lot of law enforcement officers. And there are people out there just putting this thing to the test. And the problem, though, with the original design is that it was completely custom and bespoke to each person. So in order to get one, like, you put your name on a wait list, and then they would make you one that was exactly the way that you wanted it.
Oh.
But you couldn't get one because they became popular, and making it one at a time was difficult. And they were all just a little bit different too for each customer, and because also the inventor is an absolute genius. And every time he would make a new one, he'd figure out a way to do it even better.
Yeah.
So it was something that was, it worked really well, but it was impossible to mass produce. So then about 2018, John got together with Runcible Works, and they collaborated. And John was like, okay, we need to figure out a way to make this something that we can get to the masses, because we can't make them one at a time. So rather than make one that is completely tailored to the customer, what we'll do is make one as adjustable as possible. So you give it to the customer, and the customer tailors it to themselves. So they had a couple of prototypes going on, and it was working. It was pretty good. Like, I had some early ones, and I wore them around, and I was like, well, these are pretty good. I don't know if I like it, but it works better than anything else I've tried, that's for sure. And meanwhile, John had filled up my basement with clutter. He had materials, and he had, like, notepads, and there, like, the basement became full of
Like
stuff.
a
And
mad
every
scientist
day,
down there.
he absolutely, yeah. And every day I would, he got a laser cutter, and, like, it's cool because I like this stuff. But every day I would walk downstairs, and I would, like, trip over piles of materials, and I was like, okay. Well, so one day I walked past a pile of this material, and I was like, huh, I wonder if you could use this material. I'm like, okay, like, hey, John, can I take a piece of this? And I was like, I know it's really expensive, and I don't want to waste it. But he's like, no, go ahead, take whatever you want. So I took a piece. It's called Tegris. It's the woven polycarbonate textile. So I took a piece of that, and I cut it into a little bit of a boomerang shape, and I bolted my holster to it, and then I put it on a belt, and I put it on my body, and it disappeared. And I went, oh, John, look at this. And he came over, and he's like, well, there's a year and a half of work down the tubes. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, we're starting from scratch. We're using this. And that evolved into the mass-produced version of the Enigma.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so that part came from me.
Yeah,
But the
that's cool that
concept
you
did
both have
not.
a part in it.
Yeah, and John, so I came up with the concept of the boomerang shape, curved faceplate. John did the design, and the brilliance of John's design is that he made the faceplate variable flexibility. So you could tune the grip tuck and the slide tuck based on how you cut the holes in the faceplate. So he made the concealment even better than my original prototype. And he also made it so that you could, he made it kind of semi-universal so that you could use it with any holster that would take a mod wing. So, I mean, that's not the only requirement, but one of them.
So one more question about the Enigma, and then we're going to get to Q&A because this hour just is flying by. This happens on really fun interviews. It just flies by, and then I try not to go over because I do value your time and respect your time as well. But what are the common objections that you see with people about why they don't carry? And how does the Enigma solve those problems?
The number one thing I see is they don't carry because it's not comfortable. And typically when somebody says, well, it's not comfortable, the response is, well, toughen up, buttercup, just get used to it. But that doesn't work for everybody because everybody has a different experience of sensory input. Like, that is something you cannot change. That's how you are. It's how you're programmed. So people who are not, some people can just ignore a lot of discomfort and some people can't. And if you can't, there's no way to talk yourself into it. It's like you have to figure something out. So helping to teach people the skills to get comfortable, just like concealment, it's stuff that you can quantify. You can break it down into repeatable strategies. Here are the skills to get comfortable. Teaching that to people has been huge in just breaking down the barriers and helping more people to carry successfully.
That's awesome.
And what was the second part of that question? Sorry, yes. There's
a two-part. How the Enigma solves those problems or those objections to carrying.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It just gives you a platform that you can use to apply those principles.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing about the Enigma that is inherently comfortable. What's comfortable about it is that you can adjust it to fit your body perfectly, and you can modify it with any kind of surface that you would like it to feel like. So there's an interesting
thing
that happens.
You can accessorize to the hilt too.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Sport belt.
There's an interesting thing that happens when you start concealing guns on your body. The flatter you get the gun to lay against your body, the better it conceals. And that's also what makes it more comfortable. So a lot of people will say, well, my holster's poking me. And then if you look at a picture of how they're wearing it, you can see that the grip of the gun is tipped away from the body and the muzzle is tipped in. It's creating a hot spot and it's painful.
So when
you make the gun lay flat, all of a sudden the printing goes away and the comfort issue goes away.
And I think there's a misconception that people think their body has to be flat in order for their gun to be flat. But no, it doesn't. If you know how to use wedges properly... Then you can make a gun work on almost any body type. Again, just go to the YouTube channel, please, because it'll answer all these questions. And I've watched so many of those videos. So I really appreciate you guys doing that.
Great, great, great point. And I want to touch on that even more because it's so good. So 23,000 people in the Filster Concealment Workshop. And when I first started concealing, I thought that I was unique. And I thought that my body type was more difficult and that the challenges that I was having concealing were because my body type was more difficult than everybody else. Mm. And 23,000 people later, I have realized that everybody is the same. We all want to think that we're an island and that, you know, we're having a harder time than everybody else. But the principles of concealment are so universal that they can be applied equally to almost everyone.
Yeah. And that's the good news, guys.
Yeah, and that's awesome. That's awesome. Like, we all feel so alone with it, but it turns out when you put a bunch of us together and we start talking about it, it's like, oh, we all have really similar challenges.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's a great, really cool. Great group. All right, so we're going to get into Q&A because we don't have a lot of time left. Are you okay with that, Sarah, just to throw a few questions at you?
And
I'm going to start with the one that was emailed to me from Christy. Christy says, I'm wondering if you can talk about sizing on the Enigma. The site says that it only comes in 44 inches, which won't fit me. Are they going to add sizes? Will they do something custom or is there a DIY fit adjustment for this?
Oh, great question. We get that one all the time.
Oh, you do? Okay.
So Yeah, no, that's a really good question. So the standard Enigma will fit up to a 46-inch waist, give or take a couple inches, because the faceplate adds some a couple inches as well. The sport belt will fit up to a 50. However, the reason we don't do bigger than that is because once you get to that point, the concealment challenges are so individual that each person is better off doing a custom belt. And we don't make custom belts, but there are people in the concealment workshop who have and who've put up like, here's how I did it. And it's actually super easy if you know anyone that can sew, just a couple of lines of stitching. You can make your own custom belt. You can really make it however you want. And the variation in body types is wide enough that you're going to need something that fits your body exactly.
Good. Awesome. I'm so glad you could answer that question because she said she wasn't going to be able to attend the live tonight, but she wanted to ask that question so she can go back and watch it. So thank you
Oh,
for
cool.
answering that.
Hope it helps. Yeah,
Adam
check out the
is,
workshop.
yes. Adam, is there another question you could put on the screen that, or do you want me to go through them? I figured you'd already gone through them already. Oh. Okay, Chris, have you looked into doing a quick disconnect holster connection on the Enigma? I know many carry multiple firearms. I currently have multiple Enigmas. If I could swap holsters, boom.
Oh yeah, well, that's another one we get quite frequently. So we're not considering that, and the reason why is because each firearm usually requires a different enough adjustment that you're almost better off just setting it up the way that you want it for each one. So like you could just switch your holster on the standard Enigma. If you say you want to go from a Glock 43 to a Glock 17. But when you do that, the concealment dynamics change so much that you're going to end up changing your belt attachment holes, and you're going to end up changing your wing, and you're going to change you're going to change enough stuff about it that it doesn't end up being a quick swap anymore. So that's one of the main reasons. The other one is just that the other thing we found with the Enigma is that people tend to, as they kind of get more time in with the system, they tend to kind of pick a favorite, and it's often not as much of a compromise as they thought. So we have a lot of people that were like, oh, I could only carry an LCP. That was the biggest gun I could carry. But then I got the Enigma. Now I can carry my P365 XL, which is a bigger gun, but it conceals just as well. So they don't really feel like they're compromising, and they don't feel the need to switch quite as often. So that's kind of one of those things where we get a lot of it. And I don't mean this as an insult, but we get a lot of casual questions from people who aren't in the Enigma environment yet. But once people kind of get in the Enigma environment, they're like, eh, I don't think I really need that after all. So I don't think our sales on that would be as high, and our customer satisfaction would not be as high on that over time. So.
Okay. I'm gonna unstar that one because we already did that one. Okay, so the next one, is there something cool coming up from Filster that you can share with us, or is it all a big secret?
There is something cool, but I can't share it yet.
Oh.
It is being patented and trademarked, and it's not going to be a long time before we do get to share it. So we are aiming tentatively for a Black Friday release, but
Oh.
with everything that we have done since COVID started has been delayed, or like weird stuff
Yeah.
happens all the time. So I don't, that's part of why we're not talking about it yet, is because we don't want to get everybody excited and then be like, oh, there's a material shortage and we can't make it for
Right.
another 3 months.
Right.
So
But something is on the horizon. That's
yeah,
great to
and
know.
we're really excited about it.
That's awesome. Okay. Okay, let's go to Brent. It just occurred to me, did John do the illustrations in the guides since he
Oh
was an
no,
art
that's
major?
actually an artist named Nathan, who John found on Instagram. He does a
Oh.
phenomenal job. I think he also did the one on there was one going on around a while back on like plate carriers. But yeah, it's Illustrations by Nathan, I believe, is his Instagram handle. He's really, really good.
Okay, cool. What is the most misconceived notion in CCW, in your opinion?
Oh, okay. I don't know if this is the most misconceived thing, but it's something that I see a lot, is women thinking they need a women's holster. Or men thinking like, oh, that one's for women. I can't wear that. There's actually, and again, this is something we've learned 23,000 people later, is that there's more variation within the genders than there is between them. So there are women who are apple-shaped, women who are triangle-shaped, women who are pear-shaped. There are also men who are triangle-shaped, pear-shaped, round-shaped. And there's so much variation between that it doesn't even make sense to say, well, this one's for women, this one's for men, because there's no constant there that you can use to differentiate. So what's better is just to say, okay, here's the principles you need to know to conceal on your body, and here's how to apply them, and then take your body type, whatever it may be, and figure out how to do it. But we see a lot of people that are like, well, you know, so-and-so told me that I need a holster for women, or I won't listen to what he said because what does he know? He doesn't wear the same things I wear. Mm-hmm. And in wardrobe is a consideration, but it's not the most important consideration.
All right, cool. Well, what a great interview, Sarah. You've been an absolute pleasure to have on. Thank you again so much for your time.